I'm going to count to five.
What the heck? Did you even finish chewing?
I did. I sucked it down.
Jesus.
3, 2, 4, 1, 5.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hi, everybody. This is Vangelis here with WTF at VangelisIsland.com. I just wanted to take a moment to say that I've had a lovely weekend, and I want to tell you all about it. It's taken me about an hour and a half. Basically, I got to San Jose, and upon arriving at the airport, I thought to myself, you know, this is a beautiful town, and I should come here more often. So I headed down to my hotel, the La Quinta Inn. And I had some horrible American Burger King. I don't know how you people stomach that garbage, but that's all I could really get because that area was highways and darkness, and it was full of dark alleys and pathways that were probably full of West Coast druggies wanting to mug me for my cash. And after that, I met up with DJ Shecky, and it was good times. I had the best turkey feta sandwich anyone will ever taste. And for $8.50, and you get a free bag of chips, I gotta say, Doubletree San Jose, Spriggs, plus 15 points. You're my heroes. That was my breakfast 2 days in a row. YJX, $14 buffet, I owe you, man. PayPal it. Anyway, I have more to tell you, but for now, let's do a podcast about Transformers. And with me today is Drew Iden.
Yo, yo, yo! What up, dogs?
Sup?
With a Z?
Sup? Were you in San Francisco last weekend?
Yeah, I was. Did you see me?
I did.
Oh, I didn't see you. Did you wave?
No, I was at Pier 39. I was with Peeps.
Oh, I was at Pier 37. Not with Peeps. I was
God damn
Peeps.
It.
You should.
I was having some Dungy crab enchiladas.
Oh,
except that they weren't enchiladas, they were crepes. I don't know what that place was thinking, but
I love crepes.
Crepes are awesome. I want to try crepe cannelloni sometime. Also with me today is Gog Dog.
Hey, two things. I love feta, so there you go. Number two, the only good thing from Burger King, in my opinion, is the classic chicken sandwich. And a few years ago, they used to have a classic chicken sandwich club with basically like bacon and tomato added. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's tasty for a fast food chicken sandwich. But yeah, other than that, it's instant heart attack no matter what you eat.
No, seriously, why did people tell me the Whopper was going to be better than a Big Mac? I mean, it like tasted the same.
I don't know. I don't think they taste the same, but neither one of them are particularly appealing.
I was put under the impression that like I was blessed by being next to a Burger King. They were like, oh, you usually have that crappy McDonald's stuff. Don't worry, man. Go get yourself a double Whopper with fries. It will be gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't feel gorgeous. I feel fat.
Did they have Transformers toys when you were there?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
It was failure all around. Also with us today is Seth Buzzard.
Hey, I knew you were going to be at a convention. I didn't realize you were going to be so close.
Oh, yeah. I was at San Jose, and then my friends, the Wentworths, took me and DJ Shecky over to San Fran. I bought myself some licorice wheels.
Oh, wow. So you were, like, within half an hour of Seth and didn't even say hi. That's actually kind of asshole-ish.
I thought that Seth lived on the East Coast.
Huh?
You
think that?
What?
What?
I seriously did. I did not know that anyone was in range of San Jose except for maybe Sean Long. Like, that was it.
All the times I've talked about San Francisco?
The Coit Towers?
Oh, those are the same Coit Towers.
I tweeted you that picture from the ferry boat in the bay of the San Francisco
skyline. We were on a parkade
roof with Coit Tower in it.
And my friends were like, hey, look, it's the Coit Towers. And I was like, oh, hey, my friend Seth Buzzard tells me about Coit Towers wherever he's from all the time.
Yeah, because that's a common thing. There's Coit Towers everywhere. That they just used to build them like crazy. That was part of the New Deal back in the day.
I even shot a video of them going like, hey, Seth, check it out. I found some Coit Towers. Wow.
This is
like something out of an episode of The Office or something.
When you were small, did you eat the paint that flaked off the walls?
No, but I failed geography.
clearly.
I thought you were over in Florida.
Well, here's the funny part, okay? Almost every Canadian that I know is fascinated with American politics, but they can't even tell when they're in the same city as somebody. You guys need to get your priorities straight, okay?
Okay. It's like I don't care that you were nearby, and you know, I might have been busy. Maybe I didn't want to hang out with you. But to be so ignorant is just...
For some reason, man. I thought you were in Florida, and I only just a few weeks ago learned that Florida is not in California.
No, you've learned. No, we've had this conversation before. You know, we've had. You made that mistake like 6 months ago, and I already corrected you, so you can't pull that one again.
No, but I forgot about it again. Seriously, it sounds like a West Coast city. It should be in the West Coast. Do something about it, Florida.
The whole state of Florida sounds like a city from the West Coast.
Exactly. Get over there. Put yourself in the proper place. Anyway.
Just about the only thing we have in common is California and Florida have oranges.
Well, that's true. We are the two... Basically, America has two armpits, and that's where all the vitamin C comes from.
Something kind of sexy about that image.
Okay, we're going to get in trouble for taking too long to get the topics.
Okay,
get us on track, Evangelist, right now.
Anyway, next time I'm in San Jose, I will remember that Seth Buzzard lives there and not on the other side of the continent.
San Jose is like the far other part of the Bay Area, and I don't really want to go to San Jose. But if you're in San Francisco, you know, maybe I'll roll down.
I was in San Francisco for about 2 hours.
Yeah, that's fine. You see, like, I probably wouldn't want it to bother.
See, now we're,
but
now
if
all,
I knew you were going to be around, I could have given you some tips on where
to
go.
You both sound like dicks.
Well, the thing is, when you take a dick and you rub it against a dick, you get something lovely.
Oh, friction.
Dick friction?
Exactly, dick friction. Anyway,
okay, let's go.
Our first topic today is that Masterpiece Grimlock is coming to the U.S., not the U.K., I mean, I hope they get it too, but it's coming to the U.S. in 2010. Animated RC and Cybertronian Ratchet from Animated are also apparently coming out spring 2010. So everything that you guys want is coming out next year. This was, I believe, from new Hasbro Q&A-ish stuff. It kind of took me by surprise. I think this news popped up while we were recording last week and like didn't get front page till after we were done. So there's a lot of people that are really happy about the Masterpiece Grimlock news because a lot of people were patient. Drew, I believe you are one of the patient ones.
I am one of the patient ones. Thank you for asking. I was actually kind of pumped about it. If I see it, and it's on sale for $35 at Walmart after a few months, it is mine. It is so mine.
You're preparatory pumped.
Yes. I'm fairly to moderately excited. I have bought a Masterpiece at retail, like I said. $35 at Walmart. I bought the Optimus Prime one at retail. Pretty excited about buying another one if it falls to that price again. If not, we'll see. Depends on how much are we thinking it's going to retail for. I mean,
I'm going to guess 50.
Well, that's what I was going to ask because the last Masterpiece we got was Starscream and it retailed $49.95 at Walmart. But I'm hearing that the Skywarp, which is also a Walmart exclusive, is retailing for like $70.
Really?
So it has gotten a price bump along with the rest of the Transformers and pretty much every toy line. But I'm thinking that this is probably going to be about the same price point, maybe $70-$75. But if that's wrong, because I haven't seen, I've only heard one person mention it. I've seen a bunch of people ask and only one person reply. So if that's not the U.S. retail price, I would like to know what it is. But that's what I heard. It was like $69.95 right now for Skywarp.
That's kind of wiggy. That's like, that's kind of close actually to what you could pay to get it in Japan, that Skywarp. At least back when it came out.
Well, yeah, back when it came out. If Skywarp had been released now, he'd probably be over $100.
Mm.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, Thundercracker was like 90, I think, so somewhere around the roundabouts there. Gog, what do you think about domestic Grimlock? Would you, if he looks different enough somehow, would you want to get one to go with your existing one?
No, I mean, I'm happy with the one I have. Hasbro already stated that, I believe, I might be wrong about this, but I think during one of the Q&As, they had said something about, they had some concerns about the, you know, the mold and having to make it friendly to the U.S. market. You know, I mean, like, his teeth are sharp.
Yeah, and he's got big ass.
And I have a, I have a feeling that they'd probably be replaced with rubber teeth, which that's fine. I mean, whatever. I think it's great for people who want it. You know, like you said, a lot of people were patient. I think that mostly revolved around the fact that people didn't have a lot of money to spend on Grimlock because he was so much more than the others. If Grimlock would have been cheaper, a lot more people would have had him. So I think some of that patience was involuntary. But this is really good news for the people who haven't. I mean, I think this is probably the most desired Masterpiece figure we've gotten since maybe the original
MP1.
So, I mean, people liked Megs, but they were pretty torn on him.
Starscream got,
you know, same thing with Starscream. I mean, a lot of people have Starscream. A lot more people have Starscream than they do Megatron. But I think with Grimlock, I think he's more universally adored amongst everyone. So, yeah, I see this figure doing really well. Like me and Seth had talked about before, like I'm really surprised that that they didn't already make this come out, because they had said that they were going to release a Masterpiece in 2009, and when they said Skywarp, I was like, wow, that really surprised me. So I knew this was coming eventually. I'm just surprised it took this long. But yeah, that's good. It's good for the people who have one. I mean, there's no real reason for me to buy a variant, but it's hopefully they won't neuter it too much, you know, with the
with rubber
chrome and stuff. Yeah, like lack of chrome and all that.
Seth, what do you think about Domestic Lock?
I think it's great that it's happening. Like, I think GOG brings up some very valid concerns. My biggest question is, what kind of accessories is he going to come with? Because they're already going to be getting a second a release of the Grimlock in Japan that has a different set of accessories. Mm. And for me, like, the apron, serving tray, bow tie is that's the whole thing right there. And if that's not in there, that would be a big bummer. But I mean, it was my intention to try to get one at BotCon when we were there a few months ago. My scheme for how I was going to make that happen didn't work, so I didn't get one at BotCon, and that was a bummer. But you know, I'm excited. I'm probably more excited about those animated figures getting a suggested release.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the animated ones, I kind of thought, like, you know, it's nice that they're saying it, but we knew they were coming anyway. I guess it was more so that, like, now we know we don't have to go, like, digging through everything over Christmas, because they won't be out till the spring.
And isn't the word on those animated figures they're going to be mass retail and not exclusives?
I believe so.
If somebody was saying the fact that Entertainment Earth, I believe it was, posted pre-orders for him. Mm-hmm. That makes it look like it's going to be... Maybe I'm wrong. Let me check my facts before I go.
Oh, yeah.
Entertainment Earth does supplying to, like, comic shops and stuff, too. So who knows what their range is, or what they're aiming this release at. But, I mean, I got a bad feeling that should they be a retail release when they are being found on the shelves, they're going to be crazy hard to get a hold of, because scalpers are going to go nuts on them.
That's right, Minnesota.
I still think a mass release is going to make it easier than an exclusive, because even if it's an exclusive, the scalpers are still going to be there, and it's that many less sources that you have to find them. So
that's why I'm trusting in all my good American friends to help me get a hold of them when they come out. My good, awesome American friends who suffer through things like Burger King.
And Boingo. Nobody knowing what states are located where.
Exactly. You poor guys. You know, with your Florida on the wrong end of the continent and everything. Yeah, I think it's cool. The animated stuff, with them coming out in the spring, I would suppose that means we could look forward to some form of review happening maybe before Christmas, but I don't know. Anyway, I guess the only thing left to say is that I bet me and GOG were all hyped up and ready to go out there and combatively get angry about our cool exclusive Japanese toy coming out. And I don't know. I wanted to cover that demographic quickly.
Now some phony like me is going to have it.
Yeah.
You mean Grimlock?
Yeah, now we can't be all like, oh, we got the cool Japanese-only Grimlock. It's going to come out over here. Everyone's going to be cool.
It's not like it's a limited edition. I mean,
I know.
Probably a large chunk of the people listening to this have one, so. Maybe if I got like the Christmas exclusive with the Santa Commander hat, I don't know.
I just wanted to cover that demographic of people who do think that way, and I want to make them feel like, you know, we do care about them. And they're not left out. So, angry Grimlock owners, please post in the thread about how angry you are so that we can give you hugs. That's what we're all about here. We're about hugs. We're also about picking pictures. And I think we should pick some.
Picking pics.
Feature. Finger up the front page. Pictures flying left and right.
Seth Not Buffer. Talking about flicks. Picking pics.
That's right. No flicks, just pics. Seth Buzzard, do you have one?
Yes. How about the picture of this UK bundle? Xbox 360 with all kinds of Transformer awesomes.
And Revenge of the Fallen on a Bumblebee-styled USB stick.
Right, which is interesting that they're putting a movie on something like that instead of on a disc.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Like, that's kind of a cool option for getting movies. Maybe not a cool option for somebody that isn't quite as tech savvy and is like, I want this on my TV. How can I not have movie on my TV? But that's pretty cool. And so there was some question from people like, oh, is this going to come to the US? I'm going to say probably not. Like, if you don't live in the UK and you want this, the US, Canada, Japan, whatever, you're probably going to have to find a bro that lives in the UK to send it to you. Because in the different regions, these game companies, they have their own departments that are working out what kind of bundles are going to be happening. Mm-hmm. And we already have two bundles for, I'm assuming it's North America, not just the United States. I'm assuming Canada is involved. Mm-hmm. So we already have two bundles for the holidays coming, so it's highly doubtful that they're going to have another SKU just for the Revenge of the Fallen bundle. But yeah. That UMD thing is pretty cool. I think that's the most interesting aspect of the bundle.
That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because that was the bit that made me interested to see if that's going to be kind of like a, what do you call it? If that's going to set a new kind of standard that, like, now DVDs can be released on USB sticks instead of those digital copy discs that have all the funny stuff attached to them.
Yeah. Yeah, because I assumed that it's just a straight movie file for the film.
Yeah.
And not like some DVDs and Blu-rays are coming with a digital copy that's intended for a porting over to your iPod or other portable media player.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. If any listener out there is planning to get this bundle, please let me know, because I'm very curious to hear about how that turns out. I mean, any UK listener, I guess? All five of you? One of you guys, please get the bundle. Huh. I'll give you a shout out.
Mail the receipt to www.tfw2005.com, care of Tony Bacala, say from Vangelis.
Exactly. And then, you know, we'll be able to set you up with your cool swag, like your mention on the podcast and your picture that I will make for you in MS Paint.
Ooh, and I'll color it.
That's right. Hey, speaking of coloring, Drew Iden.
Yo.
Have you got a picture you'd like to share?
Yeah, I want to share a Transformers Mosaic little one-pager I did the other day. Not the other day, like last month. I forgot to bring it up on last week's podcast because I was so enamored by the multitude of Transformers animated fan art pictures that we saw. And yes, like, we couldn't get to all of them.
Got lots of links up. I mean,
lots
like,
of links, though.
After it was done, you know, someone was like, hey, there was more. So, you know, lots of links were shared. Wish we could have covered it all, but, like, how many entries were there?
Oh, there were tons. There was a lot that weren't even that good, so...
Oh!
I'm kidding. No. But I meant to bring it up. Transformers Mosaic, The Chosen One, which features Sentinel Prime, Boltax, and some references to The War Within. So, you know, Jeremy Townsend did it. Did the art for it, and Franco Villa and Peter Estyle wrote it. It was nice, good. The art by Jeremy is fantastic. He did a great job. Very, like, from a color standpoint, you know, pro. The way, when I did the BotCon comics, like, this was how they came in. They came in, like, the way he sent them to me. High res, perfect, you know, to the T, and I was pumped. So sometimes I've worked on like a mosaic, and I'll be like, "Will you color this for me?" And it's like hand drawn, and I have to like erase the like crappy background from it. I'm like, "No, I'm not even gonna bother with my time." Because I mean, because when I get people like this who are like, "Hey, if you want to collab on something like this, let's do it," and I can, it's awesome. And the art by Jeremy is great, and I was happy to hopefully make it look decent. I'm working with him on another one for like the past month that I haven't been able to get to, but. Gonna hopefully work on that soon, but yeah, I wanted to bring it up because it was well received by the fan community.
Oh, it's marvelous! It looks like it should be printed in a actual comic book.
Well, I like it. Yeah, good work. Yeah, it was good.
Good work and good job, Jeremy. Very pro art, like Drew said. That one close up on Sentinel Prime, that is like that's Avatar material right there. Internet
Avator?
Message board. Avatar material. Hey, Gog, have you got a picture pick?
There's a lot of stuff to pick from. I have a feeling I know which one you're going to pick, so I'm going to leave that to
good
you.
Man, good man.
And see if I'm right. I'm probably right, aren't I?
Good man, yes.
Okay. I'll take that as a yes. Let's see. We got pictures of all sorts of stuff. We got RPMs, Jetfire.
How exciting!
We got the Red Baron. We got Nebular, Starscream. But I'm going to go with...
War.
In package images for Wave 3 Transformers Mighty Mugs, because we never knew if these were coming out. And we saw them on, we saw pictures of them on a shelf at San Diego Comic-Con, mm-hmm. but as far as I knew, there was no confirmation of whether that was, you know, hey, this is a preview of a future retail figure, or hey, these are prototypes that you'll never see again. So look at them in the shiny glass case, because I didn't hear any elaboration on the questions that people were asking in that regard. But it looks like they're finally coming out, so I think that's cool. They look pretty good. The Optimus and the Bumblebee, I'm not gonna get. But they do look neat. I think, the Optimus looks better than the G1 Optimus we got, in my opinion. And I like G1 Optimus more, but I think they did a good job on it. The Bumblebee I like because the contrast with the black and the yellow, I think looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like the art style on them, so. As I think I do with most Mighty Mugs. I mean, I don't own a crap ton of them, but I like the stylization of them. The Jazz, though, I think I am going to pick up. I like him.
Wasn't Jazz also the one that we all thought was not coming out, and a lot of people were down about that?
Well, it was the Jazz and the Shockwave, because we got that was supposed to be the wave three, because wave one was Optimus, Megatron, Bumblebee, and Soundwave. And then Wave 2 was Grimlock and Starscream. And then Wave 3 was supposed to be Jazz and Shockwave. And then Hasbro basically said Wave 3 was canceled. We have no plans at this time to release them and no news of any even possible future release. So I think it's cool that they're coming out so soon after the news of its impending doom. This is something that I expected to see eventually, but maybe not until a couple years down the road. But But they look good. You know, I know Seth isn't incredibly fond of the Mighty Mugs, but I think he was planning on at least picking up the Shockwave just because he's a fanboy.
Yes.
Fanboy?
I think I summed that up nicely, didn't I?
I have a couple Mighty Mugs. I'm just not, like, a hardened collector.
Yeah,
but if
yeah.
it's a character that I think is really cool, then, you know, I'm in it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm in it for Shockwave.
Yeah, and I will be picking up the Shockwave as well. But I think I'm going to get this Jazz. The only other Autobot that I have is Grimlock, just because I thought he was cool. The Bumblebee and the Optimus didn't really do it for me. But I like the Jazz. I like the wings on the back.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that's going to use the same mold variation as Starscream, because he has little slots in his back where you plug the wings in out of package.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like Jazz is going to use the same one. I'm not sure if any other different franchise within Mighty Mugs, like Marvel or G.I. Joe or anything like that, has used that. And so I'm not aware, but I just remember thinking, like, yeah, they made a special little slot body for Starscream, and if Jazz never comes out, then that's the only time they ever use that. But yeah, so I'll probably get the 2G one versions of these and skip the movie ones. But the movie ones are cool.
Yeah, lots of detail in the movie ones, but I see where you're coming from. I kind of wish the movie Bumblebee had the ears. Makes him look freakier when he doesn't have those little nubs on the top. But that's just me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of surprising, too, because they have the holes
yeah.
for on the both the Bumblebee and the Jazz. So
that's why I was kind of surprised when I saw this. But more mugs. Mighty Mugs Destro still on my medium list for reviews. In my temp notes dot text on my desktop. Provided to me by Mr. Gogdog himself.
Mr. Gogdog himself.
Mr. Gogdog, you may have been on the right track about my new pick, because as we all know, I love being warm, so transform your dignity with a Transformers Snuggie. No, I'm just kidding. I do want to just throw out a quick mention. Red Baron Ransack. Wish that red wasn't so bright, because I love that idea, but that red is just kind of a little bit too bright. I wish it was a little more subdued. But it might just be the lighting. But no.
I'll leave it out. Get one and leave it out in the sun for a while.
I got to get one and give it black washes, like back when that was the customizing fad, was to black wash everything. See, I'm throwing it out to the Radicons again. You guys, there's no rivalry here. I just gave some Radicon props, you know?
Black wash. I didn't know there was a suggestion that there was a rivalry.
I saw a comment somewhere. Someone's like, do you guys hate the Radicons? And it's like, no.
Yes, that's why we've had so many picks that involve things from there.
Exactly, that's
the way we taunt them.
That's how we express our dislike, is by featuring them constantly. But no, Gog was right. I am going to choose the full preview of the punch-counter-punch head concept, because it looks like they did it right. They did the one thing that I really wanted them to do, and that's to ensure, at least in the line art here, that when one face is showing, the other one is completely covered up. And that's all I wanted. And it looks like they did it, so I'm very, very happy. And it looks like it does it even better than the G1 toy, because that one, I always was annoyed about how you could still see the mouths, basically. And this time it looks like the helmet has a lot more oomph and a lot more muscle to it. So I'm excited to see how this turns out. This is easily the greatest idea for a club exclusive that will ever be made. And I have to throw props to the Transformers Club for picking up on all the feedback that a lot of us had when we saw this toy originally and running with it. It's a very good idea. So I'm hyped. Very hyped. I do actually have one other thing I want to throw out. It's not really Radicons, but it's Transformers video. I just want to throw this out there because I remember this had come up before. War Within the Animation. A guy who is making basically an animation using the original War Within comic books as the source material and photoshopping around it using, I believe, Flash to move everything around. Finally, he has released episode 2 through much personal strife, marriages, moving stuff, etc. It's about 20 minutes. There's a preview up on our video discussion forum. I watched the preview clip and it looks pro. It looks very pro. I was quite impressed. Like, you know, considering that the guy's material that he's using is literally just scans of the comic book, It turned out pretty well. So it's got like no responses. So I wanted to kind of mention it because I know that when he did the episode one, there were at least a couple people talking about it. And I'm thinking that the long hiatus between episodes caused a lack of interest, but at least check out the teaser. It's up there in video discussion. Black Bumblebee posted it. Looks pretty cool. Yeah. Prime's mouth moves.
The first part I thought was fantastic. I didn't get the chance to check out this new one, but I really liked the first one a lot. So.
Yeah, the new one, it just came out, I think, yesterday. Right now, it's only up for download in, like, HD, normal, and low, but they're trying to work on putting up a YouTube version.
Yeah. And good.
Yeah, it's great. Over 15 voice actors. Apparently, a lot of their cast members from the first episode weren't able to return. That was yet another stumbling block, but I'm really impressed that this dude's pulling it off, so good job. Original music score. Ooh, that too. Just reading the topic now. Anyway, I wanted to give that a little highlight. The next thing that we want to highlight after that would be a little bit of Transformers 3, a little clarification. Orsi and Kurtzman explained why they're not doing Transformers 3, or at least they explained it in public speak, in public ease. So, of course, the first thing they said is time constraints, which is, you know, the reason, whether or not it's the main reason, it is generally a reason behind any creative decision, time constraints. They said that they have other commitments and they don't want any other projects they're working on to suffer due to too much work. And apparently this interview also reveals why Aaron Kruger was brought on to help with Revenge of the Fallen was because of that, so because they were busy with all this other stuff. There's a lot more in the interview. They also mentioned their work on Hercules and Xena, Fringe, and Cowboys and Aliens. But that's the Transformers side of it. They are busy. That is what they are saying. So I will get your thoughts on how busy they are. Let's start off with Seth.
Well, no matter what they say, no matter what anybody says, I'm sticking with my assumption that they're all pissed off. Because that's way more fun than, oh, we just, you know, scheduling. It's more fun if it's bitter and angry. And so, yeah, so they say, well, we got other projects. They had to have known there was going to be a sequel. So how much effort did they put into leaving an opening in their schedule, or were they just like, man, we gotta find some more jobs, so we got an excuse. Because, I mean, are you really going to avoid a series that's raking in the kind of money that, like, Revenge of the Fallen made? Are you gonna... Why would you not take that job? Kind of a thing. It just seems weird.
Because they got to make Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's guaranteed to make $1 billion, I guess. It might be awesome. I don't know. But there's no way it's going to make $700 billion or whatever Revenge of the Fallen's going to make by the time DVD sales are over. But, you know, if they don't want to work on it, fine. I don't care. Fine. Don't work on it. Just don't make a... Don't insult their intelligence. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Gog, what about you? What do you think about this?
Yeah, I feel basically the exact same way Seth did. I was reading in the thread for this news when it first hit the board, and I didn't read it in context, so forgive me, Mr. Proto Man, if I misunderstood. Actually, I won't even state my assumption. I'll just state what I read. He said, yeah, if they're such big Transformers fans, they're really going to pass up writing for TF3 for Cowboys and Aliens. So, I mean, that could go either way. Either he meant it as, yeah, we know the real reason why you're quitting, or he meant it as, yeah, you're a real big Transformers fans, aren't you? So I don't know. I don't know what he meant by that. I'm sure he'll clarify when he hears this and, you know, smack me on the back of the head. My first response is like, well, yeah, they're not passing up TF3 to write for Cowboys and Aliens. They're passing up on TF3 because their working relationship is probably not a happy one at this point. I got to give it to Orsi. I mean, he has kind of subtly came out and said that he's not happy with a lot of the direction that Revenge of the Fallen went in. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't come out and, like, raged on it either. I mean, he's not pulling a, you know, a Megan Fox and just talking trash about Michael Bay at every opportunity. They're just, you know, he's just keeping to himself. He's like, you know, he's like, we did our thing. It's time for us to move on. Let's concentrate on other products or projects and do our thing, you know? So, yeah. And that's what they're doing. I mean, everybody knows it, you know, it's not some big secret and they know that everybody knows. So they don't have to elaborate further on that.
Just, yeah, and
you know, they can move on with their lives. They don't have any nasty comments on record and everybody just goes their separate ways.
That's why I got to give them props because like the impression I got from a BlockCon as well is like they have something between them that makes them as a pair creatively efficient. Kurtzman doesn't like dealing with people and he's basically admitted that he never reads the internet because he'll get really angry and defensive. Whereas Orsi has said that he totally loves doing it, and clearly Orsi is able to handle this kind of thing. And I'm impressed with how, like, Orsi's kind of like, he can get across that sort of message. Like, I'm not talking about his writing ability, I just mean, like, on a personal, personality review level. Orsi is, I think, really well suited for this kind of thing, because he's kind of like, he can play it cool pretty well. He can make it kind of clear, at least to a degree, how he's feeling, and he can sort of cover for his buddy, Alex. Without too much trouble.
Comparing with the way they're talking to Megan Fox, Megan hasn't been around Hollywood nearly as long as they have, and I'm sure they have a better concept of how you,
how you deal with
a situation like this without shooting yourself in the future
for the rest of your career.
that where now people might be directors and stuff out there that are going to have second thoughts about working with Megan Fox in the future because they don't know how that's going to go down.
How do you know she won't lambast you publicly after you're done shooting the film?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. It's a cool comparison. There's more reasons why, like, you know, no matter what you think of their writing, I've over the last couple years found Orsi and Kurtzman to be a pleasant pair of people in terms of creative, or members of a creative team. So, it was neat. It was cool. Drew, what do you think about all of this put together?
Well, I'll tell you what. Their episodes of Hercules Legendary Journeys were just fantastic episodes. Really displayed Michael Hurst's talents. Michael Hurst, the immortal Iolus, him.
Aeolus.
And the absolutely hot Callisto. Remember her? She was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just wondering why they're not doing something for her. Bring her back. But no, I was looking at their IMDb page the other day, and they have like 17 things upcoming. They have to be a member of IMDb Pro to look at. So I was like, A, not doing that, but B, wow, these guys are kind of busy. And then all this showed up, and not surprising. Hey, you know what? That's fine. Let one guy do it. That way, he can be like, my ideas are great, and we'll see what happens when nobody's like, oh yeah, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. Overall, I think that what I take out of this is I'm glad that they worked on it because I want to follow some of the stuff they're doing, and especially based off of Star Trek, I'm looking forward to some of their stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I still got to check out their DVD commentary. It's going to be a while though because I don't want to pay retail for it.
So. Yeah, and to say something in their defense, they had two blockbuster films this summer. They had a TV show that got good ratings. And I'm sure that they're in a position where they have much more freedom to pick and choose what they're going to do. And
yeah,
I think there's a very real possibility that they picked and they chose not to work with Michael Bay anymore.
Oh no, definitely. I mean, like that's what's so good about how they're doing right now. That sounded horrible. That's what's so good about their position right now is that if they don't want to work on Transformers anymore, even though it makes lots of money, they have so much going on, they can actually go like, you know what? Let's not do Transformers 3. Like, they can legitimately make that choice without, you know, horribly losing out on tons of money because they can probably still make tons of money anyway. So, grats! Get the hell on the podcast, Orsi, seriously. I mean, like, you're not even attached anymore.
He's lost. He's lost to us.
Seriously, Uncle Bob, what? Anyway, let's take a quick intermission, and then we'll talk about things that we acquired. So this intermission, let's see. I want this one to be in... what language should this intermission be in? Throw it out there.
Polish.
Polish. Here we go. Polish intermission.
Is this true? I mean, do all Poles take it out?
Yes, a bank loan.
What?
Interest rate is low and it's easy to get.
Well, can I get one?
No.
What?
I'm afraid you can't.
Why not?
You're not from Poland.
I'm not from Poland, but I'm in Poland.
Sorry.
But I want one.
Mr. Cleese, please, can we shoot?
I love pierogi.
Światło!
I was at Wembley in 73.
Kamera.
My aunt's from Pechin.
I... akcja.
I want one.
Wszyscy chcą. Tani kredyt gotówkowy w banku zachodnim WBK. Weź i ty, nawet dziś.
I speak Polish. Guten Morgen!
Did you miss me? Because we're back.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
Hey, Evangelist, I missed you too.
Oh, I missed you too, Gog Dog. Don't worry, guys.
I missed you more.
Don't worry, guys.
That's true,
pumped.
He did.
I'm pumped like
Why
a
aren't we worrying? Oh, whoa.
I'm pumping my pumps right now. And we're going to talk about what we got this week while I do so. So. Let's start off with Drew.
Hi.
Drew.
I'll be honest with you. I spent $500 this week, guys. Big
what?
Week. Big week for the Drew
That's
man.
That's a lot of Chinese food.
A lot of Masterpiece Grimlocks scalping the city.
Boom.
Actually, what I bought with that $500 was everything I needed to get my car's past inspection.
So I saw on your Twitter.
Yeah, super pumped. $507 came too. Three new tires, other things.
Yeah.
And I was my jaw took a beating because it hit the floor so hard. I was like,
that's kind of FML, like 500 car tires, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, because but can I tell you a quick story? I almost bought Revenge of the Fallen Thrust. I saw them the other day, and I said, "Oh, I like the alt mode." I was like, "That's cool," but the place that had it for $12.99, I was hoping if it was like $10.99, $9.99, I probably would have picked it up. But glad I didn't, because the next day, $507 went right out the old pocket.
So where would those? Let's say it was let's round it down to 10. Where would those $10? Where did those go in the 500? Do you think?
The I think just the tax of like a third of the tax towards whatever, or possibly 10 minutes of the labor that went into rewiring something.
There you go. Thrust stepped aside for 10 minutes of labor.
I could have ran over Thrust for cheaper.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that, but at least it's out of the way.
Out of the way. Out of sight, out of mind until next October.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Gog, did you get anything? Actually, no, I know what you got this week, but let's pretend I don't. Did you get anything this week?
Well, I didn't get a car inspection because Florida doesn't have them. Yay! Sorry.
Where's Florida again?
On the west coast, like in between Oregon and Mexico.
It's a suburb of Hollywood, right?
Yeah. I'm from where are you from, Drew? I'm from in between Oregon and Mexico. No, me too. No way. Where are your parents from?
I live in Hasbro's basement.
Yeah, okay. First thing I want to do is I want to identify an error in thinking on the part of one Even Team member, Aaron. He messed up. I also got the G1 Insecticons, and they are cool. He comes out and he's like, "Oh, they're bad toys. They're horrible." Okay, when you compare a 25-year-old mold to something now, of course. I mean, the only reason why anybody buys G1 Insecticons is for nostalgia value, but
well,
they're cool.
I think he was just hot riding off and dealing with that freak who buys his comics on a Thursday.
Well, he turned into a freak, so he became what he hates.
He was driven to become a monster in the face of dealing with a monster. And that is sometimes what happens to us.
He's a monster nonetheless.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
There you go.
But sometimes,
this is, not only do you get, your Transformers news and opinion, you also get ethics lessons and of the sort.
But sometimes doesn't the second wrong just taste so good?
No.
Well, you,
now I'm gonna now we're getting good. We're getting into ethics and
lawful.
Yeah, now we're getting into like what are morals? You know, this is getting YouTube level.
Yeah, we'll have part two on a later date.
We'll have a V1
but no, debate. I got the Insecticons. I like them. For some reason, I was thinking that I had all three when I was a kid, but I'm thinking now that the only one I had was shrapnel.
Sharp shot.
And I had no. But I had some of the deluxe Insecticons as a kid. I can't remember which ones exactly. I'd have to go back and look. But I know that I had at least a two or three of those. Mm-hmm. But I know that I had shrapnel. I don't know. Like, I have a hard time remembering, like, some of the toys I had as a kid. It's like, I have to fiddle with it, and, like, the muscle memory returns, and I'm like, I remember this. Yeah, I had this guy. But sometimes I forget. It's just it's very odd. Cause a lot of the Transformers I had, like, I was like 4 years old, and they were lost or broken, and I just, you know, it's kind of hard to remember, have memories from when you were four, but. I can dig them up sometimes, but no, they're cool. The only thing that's disappointing, I haven't tried it yet. I haven't even tried because I got fair warning, is that the stickers that come with them basically suck. Mm-hmm. So if you want to sticker up your Insecticons, you're basically going to have to go with some repro labels. I think I'm probably going to keep mine clean. I have a sticker sheet that came with my book style reissue Megatron with a bunch of. I actually have an extra sticker sheet, I think, that I bought.
Oh, with the logos? So,
but I'll probably still put some con logos on them. Mm-hmm. I think other than that, I'll leave them. They look fine without
them better,
stickers, I think.
I like them better clean when I got the bookcase
ones.
Yeah,
I think they look good. I think they look good. I'm looking at them now. But the vac metal is really nice. I mean, they're nice. Their joints are all tight. They're good. If you like Insecticons, and you know, if you don't have any that are mint, I would highly recommend picking these up for $35. I actually bought mine online on ToysRUs.com. I want to get the Perceptor 2. I just couldn't justify dropping $70 in one go on G1 reissues. So I'll probably pick up Perceptor sometime between now and the next time we do an odd-numbered one.
And remember, it's canonical to Army Build the Insecticons, so if you want more.
No, that's okay.
I'm throwing it out
there. That's kind of expensive for an Army Build, but if someone wants to, like, build me or send me, like, a big old hunk of liquid plastic mix and a mold, and I'll just squirt my own, but...
What?
But there you go. But no, they're good. I like them. They're great, and the you know, there's not like some, with some of the reissues, they're just kind of iffy on quality. I think the quality at least on the ones I have are great. Everything is nice and tight. They feel minty fresh. The other thing that I got was Device Label Ravage.
You got Device Label Ravage? When did you get that?
I'm surprised. Like I wasn't expecting to get him like before most anybody else. I had him on pre-order from HLJ, and if anybody who buys lots of things from HLJ knows, is whatever you choose for your shipping from the last item that you ordered, it resets shipping for everything. So you can only have one type of shipping ordered at the same time. So say you like buy five things pre-order for Sal shipping, which is the slow, you know, could take anywhere from a week to four. And then you go and you buy one more thing after that, and you choose EMS, it basically flips everything else to EMS. So I wasn't expecting to have EMS, and I could have emailed them and asked them to change it for me, but I said, screw it, I'll go ahead and do it. So I got him, you know, very fast, like 2 days after he was released in Japan. So, but no, I like this guy a lot more than I expected to. I would say as far as Cat Mode Ravage, you know, discounting the two Alternators versions and Beast Wars, as far as that goes, he is the best Ravage that I have ever seen. He is a very, 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 very cool toy. Mouth opens, which I wasn't really expecting, but he's very poseable. I mean, he looks awesome, and hopefully by now, you know, everybody has at least seen some pictures of him, if not the ones that I've taken. But he is great. The problem is the price, and that's the one thing that's going to turn people off.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen some sites selling him for between $20 and $30.
So, I would do 20
yeah,
for that.
So I'll show you guys the link, so if it's still there, you can get it ASAP, because I just saw that earlier today. But No, he is. If money is not that big of an issue, if you're on the fence and you're not sure, I'd say go ahead and do it. I mean, he is a really, really, really cool little guy. The other thing that was cool that I wasn't really expecting, I think I saw a hint of it like right before I got him, but he comes with. Oh, okay. Let me break it down. The software, okay, when you install it, well, the box and everything is completely in Japanese. He's only referred to as Jaguar. It's very much a Japanese product. Now, here's the funny thing. When you stick in the thumb drive, if anybody's had like a U3 thumb drive, which is the stuff with the like embedded software on it,
yeah.
When you stick it in your Windows computer, and the software only works on Windows, it will... I mean, the drive will work on anything that supports a USB flash drive, but the software is Windows only because it's a .exe file.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stick it in, apparently it detects what language setting you use because all the instructions, installation, and everything shows up in perfect North American English. And I was very surprised at that. It doesn't even ask you to choose your language. It just bloop, pops up. It's in English.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. Is it says copyright Tomy, copyright Hasbro, and... all the English instructions from here on out refer to him as Ravage, as device label Ravage. So that means one of two things. Either Hasbro is planning on releasing this guy, because it all says copyright Hasbro, device label Ravage, and Hasbro's the only ones that refer to him as Ravage, or Tomy just went the extra mile and basically completely catered to Western audiences, which is, even that is cool. So it's just something to keep a lookout, an eye out for, you know, because he may get a Western release. I don't know if I would wait for it and completely pass him up, because if you want him, I would get him, but it's just something to consider because the instructions come up. There's a PDF. It's all you could tell that the flash and the software was all made by Toshiba. It says copyright Toshiba on it, alongside the other company names.
Mm-hmm.
But all the PDF and everything is in English. The program installs in English, and it's really cool. But basically, the software consists of when you put it in, the program will automatically launch, and it leaves like a little Autobot symbol in your system tray down by the clock. And when you stick the thumb drive in, basically a little 3D render of Ravage pops up on your desktop. And you have there's various settings you can set it to. You know, you can adjust his speed. You can set him. There's a slider bar where you can move it between active and lazy, and you can make him run really fast. And you can also right click on him and have him perform different tasks. Like he'll roar. Sadly, there's no sound, but he just kind of makes like a howling motion. He'll leap across your screen. You can tell him to eat your icons. He'll walk up to random icons on your screen and they'll turn into like white squares, and then he'll start munching pieces out of them and then they'll disappear. It's neat. It's gimmicky. You know, is it going to last you for hours upon hours? No, but it's kind of neat that it's all set up to work automatically. So you don't have to go through the trouble of launching it every time. You just, mm-hmm. By default, it's set to, for the little system tray program to auto detect. And as soon as you plug Ravage into your computer, boom, the little miniature Ravage appears and wanders around on your desktop. So it's pretty hands free and it's neat. And he'll even go to sleep. He'll transform into the flash drive mode on your screen. He'll fall asleep for like a couple minutes at a time and then wake up and stretch. It's neat for what it is. I think it's like an extra little thing that they did not have to include. They could have just said, here's a flash drive, have fun, and people still would have bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy with him. I think it's worth the dough, at least for me. It's just a cool little figure. But the only complaint I have is in his flash mode version, he's a little wide. So unless you have a USB port with nothing, with plenty of clearance on either side, he won't fit unless you have like an extension cable.
Mm-hmm.
So like with me, I have a monitor with USB ports on the side and he fits in there just fine. But I also have USB ports on the front of my computer with kind of limited space and he won't go in there. And he also might have trouble plugging him into one of the back ports on a PC. But if you have a port with plenty of clearance on either side, then he'll be fine. And sometimes when extending the little USB tip in the flash drive mode, he kind of has a tendency to bend a little bit. So he's not rock solid in the flash drive mode, but that being the only complaint as far as physically, it's pretty minor. The other cool part that I wasn't expecting is when you transform him into cat mode, he has, when I took my first pics, I was like, he does kind of have like a cavity on the inside.
Yeah.
And there was like a little lip and it almost looks like a little cat penis. But one thing I missed, because I didn't look at the instructions. I mean, he's fairly simple. I wouldn't have thought that I had to. But once I did, I realized that I missed a step. Once he's in cat mode, you extend the tip on the inside, and it completely fills in the torso. So he has like a chrome torso. And that's really cool how they incorporated the USB opening and closing into the actual transformation. So there you go.
The big ups to device label.
He's neat. Yeah. He's a lot cooler than I expected, and he goes really, really well with music label Soundwave.
It sounds like it's just like it.
It's sad that they couldn't have some sort of gimmick where they you know, used each other, or you could plug him in to give him like extra, you know, capacity or something. But even so, the fact that they kind of share a gimmick of using like USB and SD cards and modern technology, they look really good together. I think if you have a music label Soundwave, this is a really, really cool little accessory for it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it'll impress me the same way music label Soundwave did, where it's like if you ignore the price, it's awesome. Oh, why did I pre-order music label back in the day? Anyway, hey Seth.
Yo.
Have you got anything this week?
Yeah. I have one of those Ravages on the way. It just didn't ship in time to get here. So
you didn't get sudden EMS?
No. But the pictures GOG had taken and posted got me all in anticipation for it. And then the idea that it might come out in the US is kind of bumming me out, because that thing ain't cheap.
And yeah, and it's the same. It's like the same problem with Grimlock. It's like, do you wait? You know, are you going to get a neutered version? What's going to happen? I mean, there's not really any way to get a neutered version with this, but if you wait and he's sold out, then you're not going to find him. And then will he come out? Will he not come out? It just, that kind of blew me away, because it's like device label Ravage. And it's like, oh, Ravage, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not pounding my fist cursing that I paid what I paid, but, and if it does come out, you know, I'll be like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. I just wasted some money, whatever. So, I'll be okay in the end. But, yeah, anyway, so stuff that I do have in hand. A couple off-topic items. I got the NECA, or is it pronounced NECA, or however you pronounce
NECA.
It?
NECA.
He says, Evangelist says NECA. I always called it NECA, but is that, are you sure NECA is that?
I have no idea. I just say NECA because it means that I'm technically right. In worst case, I'm just spelling it.
So it's that toy company.
Yeah.
And so I picked up a Street Fighter IV super giant leg Chun-Li.
Woo!
Busting walnuts with that thing. Also, I finally found a Rex the Dr. Lewis.
Yay!
So, yay. I mean, took forever to find.
Oh, hey, look, I just found completely randomly the chapter picture for this week.
I gotta say, if you have Scalpel, Revenge of the Fallen Scalpel, and you have a doctor, or Rex the Dr. Lewis, if you put him on his knees and point his toes out, his legs fit like perfectly into Scalpel's back. It's amazing how well the doctors work together.
Double doctor.
Healthcare reform. We got it right here.
Yeah.
I love how you gave him the claws, too. I love those claws so much. I don't even know what they mean, but I just love how he has these completely psychotic little claw hands you can clip over top.
Yeah, at least with mine, the claws don't stay on very well. They fall off pretty easy. And so does his hair. Like, his hair just sort of sits on there. It's not snug at all. There's no friction holding it on.
Badly fit.
But it's a cool design.
Mm-hmm.
That character was, like, the best part of that movie. I'm just not super excited about that he becomes Cobra Commander, but whatever. He was a cool character.
Oh my god, well, spoiler! Oh my god.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's too late.
Did you take his wig off yet?
Yeah, well, it's impossible not to, because it doesn't stay on very well. It's just sort of sitting on top of
his head. There was like a little tiny drop of glue, and then that kept it in place for the first time. Much like a hymen.
Yeah, well, there might have been. But it don't stay on now.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so I found that at Kohl's. Kohl's has become, like, the best place in town for finding newer stuff, which is weird. And it's also kind of sucks because they do ridiculous pricing. Like, they jack the price of everything way up, and then they put a little sign next to it saying, sale! And the sale price is everybody else's normal price, so I feel sorry for people that are tricked into thinking that they're getting a deal.
It's a reverse sale.
Yes. And sometimes they do messed up stuff where you don't get the regular price unless you buy multiples. Like, hey, buy two, and then they come out to normal price. And so, yeah, but I only want one. So, too bad. Anyway, so I found Rex at Kohl's, and I also found Revenge of the Fallen RC at Kohl's.
Yay!
And that was very exciting. So I got Revenge of the Fallen RC. I really liked the whole not as humanoid kind of vibe they got going with the motorcycles. But it seems like though that those character designs, like, I really like how they look in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're too convoluted to work as well as a toy as I would hope that they would, because RC has a lot of just pieces of motorcycle getting in the way of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has, like, her weapon arm that has a really cool pop out transparent blue knife blade, like energy knife blade, and then her other arm, which is longer and more thin, gets really clogged up in its movement because there's this big piece of the motorcycle's fairing that folds around her arm and comes out past her hand in the front and past her elbow in the back.
Mm.
And that's kind of disappointing. But I think I like her better than the first motorcycle. Chromia? The blue one was a Corona. Is that what they called her?
Chromia, but really Corona remember. Can work too if you'd like. Okay.
Corona would be awesome.
They're not backing me up.
I'll have one.
Serve her up with a lime.
Oh, whoops.
You know what I think would actually make that RC look a lot better? Because I was just sent a photo. I hadn't really looked at it yet, but there was a high res of the three Bike Sisters CG models going around. And I think that RC toy, something that might help it just on a small level would be to add some pink paint apps to the black spine pieces. Because on the model, on the model, those parts are all kind of like mixed with bits of the bike cowling and whatnot. So I was curious if that might help.
Yeah, well, one thing about the crazy zigzaggedy spine is if it could have used slightly more articulation. Like, you could almost move sections of it to where you would really want it, but the ball joint doesn't let it go quite far enough.
Mm.
And the swivel joint on this other part doesn't let you move it another way you would like to. But yeah, like some more paint apps. Well, more paint apps are always good. You know, they can only do so much. But yeah. But on both of them, there just seems to be like too many pieces of the motorcycle that are solid still pieces of the motorcycle. Like with Corona, the handlebars and headlight. Is that her name?
No, it's Chromia.
Chromia, sorry. When I first said it and I wasn't sure if it was right, I had accidentally hit the volume on my headphones down, so I didn't hear if anybody...
You didn't hear all three of us correcting you simultaneously.
Right. And then I didn't hear anything, and I thought that everyone was just being quiet.
So what's her name?
We started talking Silence. About beer when you said that.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, that's why you went, nobody's got my back afterwards. I was like, what are you talking about?
And then when I said oops was when I realized my volume was down. So I can't wait till this episode comes out so I can hear what you guys said.
I muted my microphone like 20 minutes ago.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, but anyway. Okay, so I'm on a blue motorcycle girl. Like, there's that just huge, the handlebars and the headlight just sitting there in her front area. And then it's kind of the same thing with RC. The the handlebars and cowling are on her shoulder, and they do separate a little bit to sort of look like they break up, but it's not really anything. But, you know, I still want to get that third bike, and I still can't wait to see what the lost combined mode looks like. And the last thing I got. So, Master Priest Grimlock is coming to the U.S. That news broke the day after I got an email from Big Bad Toy Store saying, hey, awesome, your back order came in, and we charged your credit card. And I went, oh, cool, I'm going to get Grimlock. And then the next day, I went, oh, okay. Well, oh, no. At least this Grimlock comes with all of the accessories that I really wanted
there
in the first
go.
Place.
See, yeah. There's a light at the end of every dark armpit.
Yeah. Big California-shaped armpit. But, no, but you know, he's awesome. Like, I don't regret having him at all.
You actually got him. I thought you meant he just shipped.
No, he arrived yesterday. So I spent last night messing with him. And right now he has the apron and the bow tie and the serving tray all set up.
It's too bad. See, now here we can go full circle. It's too bad you didn't meet up with Vangelis, because then you two could have a few beers, and then while he was trying to talk to his friends, you could just make Grimlock shake his head in front of Vangelis for like 2 hours straight while recording a podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't have it then. I just got it last night. So it would have been cool, but fate was not to be. But yeah, I don't regret having him at all. It was kind of a bummer to find out that he's coming to the U.S. right after getting charged, and it was kind of a bummer having to pay that money right now, because I kind of didn't want to spend that much money right now. But no, he's awesome. He's awesome Grimlock, and I was disappointed coming out of BotCon that I wasn't able to get one then, so I'm glad I have one now.
Just watch the tail again. I don't know if you remember from then, but when you fold the tail up in robot mode, there's a screw in there, and if you're not careful, that screw can rub across the tail, and you can get some chrome wear pretty early. It's good to put either like a drop of glue or a little piece of tape or something on the inside of that screw on either side.
Keep an eye out for it.
Okay, that's cool. What I got this week was got a bunch of Kamen Riders from HLJ. That was cool. Got a bunch of Monster Apocalypse from Team Covenant. That was cool. The only Transformers things I got this week would be this little bit of news that I didn't actually realize came out until just now, even though it was posted this morning, which is that Aaron Archer, in an interview over on the AllSpark, apparently said that Universe will be coming back in the fall. So that's neat.
Wait, Aaron posted on the AllSpark?
Well, they interviewed him at a press event.
I was going to have to write an angry letter.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to bring it back to retro 2000. What, 2003 was that? he's basically just said something similar to Universe and Classics is probably going to start next fall. So there you go. That's all I got this week, was that bit of news. But hooray! Let's move on to our final section, which is another question from the man, the myth, the legend, the one that is, who asks about what this is.
I am one that is, issuing another question to all Transformers fans. Due to the limits set by Michael Bay's movie conception of Transformers, it seems anything can be a Transformer. What do you think are the limits to getting a robot out of an alt mode? Or getting an alt mode out of a robot? Does a humanoid robot mode matter in this concept? Does the integration of parts of the alt mode must be altered if so? Or question number two. What is the most to least important quality of a Transformer action figure to you? There are three categories: alt mode, transformation, robot mode. In the alt mode, convincing. Does it hide its robot mode well? Interesting or unique, such as ransack biplane mode. Featureful. Does it have a lot of gimmicks, like the Universe Ultras do when you press a button? Or does it, like, have a second mode? Next category, transformation. The difficulty level. Do you like it? All these interesting or easy or hard ways you can transform it? Or uniqueness. Does parts go in places that you never knew, like animated blurs? The legs and arms come from different sides of the alt mode? Or is it featureful, as in spring-loaded, automorph, or sounds when triggered, such as the Universe Ultra's call upon the transformation sounds? The final category, robot mode. Is it convincing, articulated, in more ways than a human does? Or uniqueness? Does it use the kibble well? Does it look very interesting? Does it hold itself as it's being unique? Or does it have awesome features, such as Mech Alive, a combined mode, firing missiles, or any gimmicks such as that? Please, I need your answers.
Well, I in thinking about this, I think it would be interesting and a little funny if the Autobots, Blaster comes on the scene, and instead of having tapes or somehow working cassette discs into it, what if Blaster's little minions were instruments? That'd be kind of cool. And he had his own little like blaster band. So I think that could kind of work, because I mean, you could pull, you know, anything. An electric guitar could turn into like a spider-like robot, just because that's, you know, you can make anything. If Demolisher can turn into a giant wheel, you can do anything. the thing I think about most is, like, you know, if it's got a cool alt mode, got a cool robot mode, I'm not that worried about how it gets there. You know, I'm somebody who says Fast Action Battlers might be the best product on the shelves, because I think the quicker you can get it there, and the most fun you can have out of it, I like that. I like articulation, and I like the idea of you can pose it all sorts of ways, but I'll sacrifice some articulation to actually get it to robot mode. So I'm cool with losing some of the transformation kibbly bits to get right to a fun robot mode and a cool alt mode. And I think a band of robots that play their own instruments would be hilariously great. It'd almost be like the Cantina Band, but more cooler. So that's my answer. That's my answer.
Wicked, wicked. Yeah, Drew, you've got to run. So we will catch you in the aftermaths.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Sorry, I gotta run. Keep it cool, and I will listen for the rest of your answers when this podcast is released.
All right.
Stay crazy.
Peace, Trout.
Take it easy, boy.
You're a skater.
That was Dryden answering the question. He was waylaid with some of the RL, so we'll just continue on. One that is, I put his question in, so you probably heard him ask it already, but. That was Drew answering. So let's move along to Gog. You actually just live listened to the question right before we started.
Why, yes, I did. Let's see. Let's go through. I don't want to go into, you know, crazy bit by bit answering the question, but what do I think? Are we answering all of them right now?
Basically, yeah. Like, question one: what do you think is like the limit of transformation in the movie aesthetic? And then the second one is, what's the least important aspect of a transformer to you?
Let's see. Movie design allows almost anything to be a transformer. What do you think is the limit to getting a robot mode out of an alt mode? If you're talking about the movie verse, there really isn't much of a limit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it has like a circuit board in it, it can apparently become sentient.
Yeah, like that's fine. Like, it's toasters and cell phones.
I mean, yeah, toasters, hey, toasters, microscopes, it's all good, you know? I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it adds, a variety to stuff, maybe even more so than we've gotten in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that doesn't always translate well necessarily with the movie aesthetic, but I don't mind opening up the Transformers brand to things that we've never had before. I mean, or else we wouldn't have ever gotten a toaster, you know, or stuff like that. So I don't think that necessarily has to be a limit. You know, maybe the steering wheel, you know, in the first movie, because I was like, oh, well, the car became sent. Oh, no, actually, it was the steering wheel, because it detached. Maybe if, like, the steering wheel had a little circuit board in there, I guess it could have, because of maybe they had audio controls in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like it had an airbag, so I don't know. That's the only one I can think of offhand that didn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I don't mind. I mean, in the end, it's just what's funny. And I mean, I don't take this as necessarily as, you know, hard science fiction. It's more of just kind of, you know, having fun. And in the end, I mean, it's toys. We all like the toys. Most of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that should be the bottom line is if it translates well to a toy, then you can make it work in fiction. What's the important aspects of a Transformer? With me, I'm a big fan of posability. So in a robot mode, the more posability to me, the more fun value and the more, you know, poses I can put it in to take pictures and stuff, which is what I like to do. That's how I have fun. I don't go out and play in the sandbox anymore. I put them in my light box. You see what I did there?
Ooh.
And then I take some shots of them. So to me, it's more fun if I get a lot of poses out. Less kibble is always more fun. But it's also fun from an engineering standpoint because it's kind of lame. Not lame, it's kind of disappointing when you see a toy that has all this potential. Like, I'll take even Universe Hotshot. That's a good example. That toy had a lot of potential, but it seems like with the whole shoulder thing, the designers kind of got lazy. There was a much better way to do that, and I think in the end, the toy really suffered from that. Mm-hmm. And it even hurt the posability. It had posability built in that you couldn't even use because the kibble, you know, got in the way. So it was like, what's the point of engineering the posability in there if you can't use it? So to me, posability is a big thing. Other than that, it's... I mean, like, you have to have a passable vehicle mode. Nothing has to be perfect. I mean, the robot mode you can get away with more because there's no established it has to look like this. With the alt mode, it does. Yeah. And so some Transformers obviously pull that off better than others. But to me, as long as it has a passable vehicle mode, the better, the better, you know? I mean, that's, that's redundancy, you know, and a half right there, but. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't think that Transformers need a lot of gimmicks, because he also asked, like, as far as what gimmicks are important to us. To me, the transformation is the gimmick. And that's all it needs to do is pull off a transformation well. The Transformers have two modes, and sometimes more. And that's the gimmick. You have a line-wide gimmick right there, and I think when you incorporate more gimmicks into that that are mandatory, that the figures generally suffer quite a bit from that. And as we explored before when we had the interview with the Japanese designers who worked on the original classics, and you know, Hasbro said, why are these figures so good? And the Takara guys were like, because we put no gimmicks in them like you have requested us to do for the past three lines. So, but that's it for me. I appreciate some Transformers for their simplicity, and I appreciate some for their high degree of complexity, even with the Macross figures. I love the Yamato Yamato Valkyries, and they are very complex and they are fun, and sometimes they can take upwards of 20 to 30 minutes to transform if you haven't done it in a while, especially with like the YF-21, which is impossibly complex, but it's fun, and I can appreciate that from an adult point of view. But I also like deluxes that take you all of about 15 seconds to put them in mode. So I think it's good to have variety, and I think Transformers brand does have a lot of variety in that, and that's one of the things that's kept it alive and interesting because it appeals to so many different people. But so that's about it.
Okay.
I think the bottom line for me, my favorite aspect of what makes a Transformer good is the degree of posability. And that's something that we've got a lot of in the past few years. It's something that adult collectors, as they've gotten older, that they appreciate more, and we've kind of demanded it a little more, and the figures that do it, you know, they sell, and it is definitely become a selling point. While we all love G1 for its nostalgia value, toys have come a long way, and they still are. I mean, even the classics that we've gotten from the Universe line have come a long way from the original classics in some aspects, and they're going to get better. So, I think it's a good thing.
Okay, Seth, let's move along to you. What do you think about these questions? How would you answer them? How powerful is the voice of the one that is?
Well, it's perfectly godlike, but so what was the first part of, oh yeah, what the limits of a movie Transform me. I don't even think circuit board is necessarily a necessity. I think as long as it's mechanical, because they allude to a Model T being a seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he was a Transformer before he became a Model T.
Okay, but he's that's still his alt mode.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah. Thanks. yeah, so I think just being mechanical, if it was just, like, I don't think a wooden baseball bat would become a Transformer, even though that might be kind of rad. I think it has to have multiple parts or something. Like, I don't think a single piece thing could do it. But I don't know. I mean, they made Reed Man or whatever it was called after. Out of ball bearing, so maybe there is no limit. Maybe just as long as it's metal. I don't know.
Metal baseball bat.
We'll find out when Bay goes crazy in the next movie. then, what's least important? Like, what aspect of a toy is least important to me? I would say the actual transformation is probably least important, because we've seen fairly recently Scout class figures that have very simple transformations that are really super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think things really need to be overly convoluted, as long as it looks decent in both modes, like it is identifiable as whatever vehicle it's supposed to be, and the robot mode isn't just like a bunch of vehicle parts being held together by ball joints. I don't really get hung up on how complicated or how simplistic that aspect is. And stuff like gimmicks, like this, the whole like Cyber Planet Key thing was like a big turnoff to me, especially in the smaller Scout size figures where now you have this big plastic disc hanging off of them.
Oh, scattershot.
Yeah, and as I've said multiple times, like electronics gimmicks, I'm really not into. I'm not into all the space taken up by batteries and speakers and the extra weight. I don't need the toys to say their name over and over again, as some of them do nowadays. I can remember that you are Jetfire and that you are Optimus Prime. You don't have to remind me. Exactly.
Just in case you forgot, man.
Well, after that one night at BotCon, it's hard to.
All right. Speaking for myself, when it comes to limits, a lot of us, you know, we're talking about the alt mode limits. I'm going to think about, you know, you guys have basically voiced everything I could think of. I mean, like, technically, a metal baseball bat could be a shell former. Technically, but if we're going to talk about limits of robot modes out of any alt mode, what I think would be wicked and would be totally movie style, and this would not work for everyone, but it would work for me, would be to take the Doctor to the next level, have like a really big car, you know, a big truck, turns into a big robot, and have it so that 90% of the alt mode just turns into this array of arms and legs, and then like just the engine turns into like this little head, or this little body. And the thing is just a giant mass of, like, spiky, spiny arms and legs. I think that would be really cool. I think that was actually something that was in some of the concept art for Revenge of the Fallen that's been coming out. Like, the Swarm or whatever. I would really dig that. I don't think anyone else would. But I think that would also be the limits of how much you could take an alt mode and divide it into tiny little pieces. Would be to have it turn into thousands of really thin arms and legs. So. That's how I'd answer the first question. That's where I think the limits would be how much you can chop up the alt mode, no matter what the alt mode is. As for the second question, the part that I find least important is very hard to say. I mean, like gimmicks, I like good gimmicks, but I mean, I forget about gimmicks quite often. But if I was going to go for something a little more robust as an answer, I'd probably say, in a way, the transformation difficulty, because... I really appreciate a well-engineered transformation, whether or not it's difficult. So, I mean, I do appreciate transformation, but the actual difficulty to me is not the important thing, because a Transformer can be simple or hard, and it can have a good transformation or a bad one. Like, Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime has a hard but awesome transformation. Deluxe Jolt has an easy but awesome transformation. And then there's toys that kind of suck at that kind of thing. Like, as much as I love him, Beast Wars Neo Dead End. If you don't memorize how to fold his limbs in a cartwheely sort of swastika shape to fit him inside his shells, you don't have much fun with the guy. So,
or Masterpiece Megatron.
Yeah, well, actually, to be honest, I've never had trouble with the guy, but I can see.
There's just, I just have trouble. There's this one part in his legs that you have to fold. You have to fold it at the right angle, or it won't transform. And it has basically like 8 positions. So you try one, it doesn't work. You go to the next one, it doesn't work. And then eventually you get it if you lose track.
I would say that Masterpiece Megatron is a great example of the other side of the coin when I bring up Leader Prime from Revenge of the Fallen. Masterpiece Megatron is also a marvel of engineering, but not in really a fun way. And I mean, there are those who will argue that Leader Prime is not fun either, but I found Leader Prime, once you get over the order he does things, it's a lot easier. Whereas Masterpiece Megatron could use a bit more quote-unquote studying. Dr. Robot. I am Optimus Prime. But yeah, that's how I'd answer the questions. Some of the other points, that one that is brought up, you know, things like how convincing stuff is, all that, really, those are all neat aspects, but they all fall in the middle for me. And when it comes to like the thing I'd least worry about, it would be the zero or one, is this difficult to transform or not? I don't know, that's me. Hope that answered your question, one that is. Keep on talking in that sexy, awesome voice. And I believe that we are out of things to talk about this week. We have no rumor mill, we have no spoilers. So, I don't know. RPM Jetfire, seriously, armless. Couldn't they have just flipped the picture around so that his arms were on the bulkier back half of the jet? I mean, like, I don't get it.
They could have just shown him in profile.
That too. I mean, like, I mean, you look at it, right? There's his legs are down there, taking up just as much room as they could have if his legs were in the nose cone. But now his arms are gone, and he has those big empty thrusters where the wheel. I don't know. I'm just saying. I think RPM Jetfire.
They could have pulled a movie lockdown and just had the arm just come out of his hip or something.
Exactly. I'm just saying. You know, this RPM Jetfire, I think, could have turned out a lot better, and I think many of the fans are going to be debating RPM Jetfire for years to come. Well, until next time, this has been Vangelis, Drew Iden, Gog Dog, and Seth Buzzard, and we're going to go transform our dignity with our Transformer Snuggies. So, good night, everybody. FYE. This is not actually a Snuggie branded product. Seriously, it's not. I just noticed that
anymore.
I love it when Defuzz posts front page material. I love his writing. I'm gonna first stop on these. Badass.
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.